Well, happy Easter, everybody. The title of my talk today is Rise Up, like Carol told you, and I'm talking today about the symbolism of the Easter story and how it applies to us today, because as metaphysicians, that's what we do, is look at the symbology of things and how they apply to us. And so the Easter story is a story of transformation. It is a story of rising out of that which is limited, of that which is binding, leaving those limitations behind and being born into something greater, something more expansive, something more fulfilling. And so Jesus, rising out of that tomb, transfigured, is a symbol of him rising out of this world of human struggle and strife and difficulties and challenges, and instead moving out of that and moving into a heavenly realm, a realm of eternal freedom, a realm of eternal liberation and boundlessness. And so that same story of leaving what is small and what is stifling and what is limited and moving into something greater, that story of renewal and of new beginnings has been told throughout eons of time, long before Jesus walked this earth. And so one of those stories is the pagan story that is about Easter that happens at the time of the spring equinox. And so the story is told and comes from, the word Easter comes from the goddess Oster, O-S-T-R-E. She is the goddess of new beginnings, the goddess of renewal and rebirth. And so the goddess Oster is celebrated during festivals and ceremonies during the month of April. And one of the things that happens at those ceremonies is people color brightly colored eggs. And those bright colors of those eggs represent the sun. And the sun are longer days and the sun coming forth in a brighter way than before. And during those festivals, people bring those eggs representing the sun, and they also represent fresh starts. Because, you know, in that egg, there is a chick, and that is all about a new beginning and a fresh start. And so Oster's symbol is the rabbit. And so the rabbit is the symbol of fertility also, and of beginnings and of life, because that rabbit is pregnant with possibilities. And so we find ourselves at this time of year here where it is pregnant with possibilities, where there is rebirth and transformation happening. And so Oster then is the goddess of the dawn, and she is responsible for spring and the bringing forward of the plants and the flowers and all the new babies. She's coming out of the darkness of winter, coming out of the dormancy of winter and bringing forth this amazing new expansive life. And so it wasn't until the year 325 of the Common Era during the Council of Nicaea that it was decided that the commemoration of Jesus's death and rising again, his transformation, would be celebrated at this time of year. That Easter is celebrated at the first full moon after the spring equinox. And so it was overlaid with this pagan celebration of rebirth and renewal as a way to get pagans to become Christians, to bring them to the church, because they were already celebrating and having holy celebrations. And so today we are here on Easter, and we have this amalgamation of this Christian story of Jesus transcending and rising into eternal life, as well as Easter eggs and chocolate bunnies and flowers and all the things that represent spring. So we have this overlay of the two, how we celebrate Easter today. And so today, what I really want to look at is the idea that comes from both of those stories, that is, in order to be born anew, in order to be born into that realm of freedom, we must die to the lesser. We must die to that which is binding us or that which is limiting. Because, you know, that chick can't stay in the egg. That chick has to come out of the egg. It can't stay in that which is confining, that which is limiting. It has to come out. The caterpillar cannot stay a caterpillar. It must turn into the butterfly. That is its destination, its destiny, and what it's here for is to become the fullness of itself. Like that poem that Carol read to us, that invitation of our spirit that is always there to live as our fullest selves, to live our greatest life, to bring our full selves to this life. And so as spiritual beings, we have that need. We have a need to break out of whatever it is that keeps us small. We have a need to become that butterfly. We have a need to experience our most magnificent, wondrous selves that is always in here. We have a need to experience the freedom of our infinite potential that lives within us. We have a need to experience who we really are, that infinite love intelligence of the universe here expressing itself as us. And so I'd like to share a story with you that is the same story, but told yet another way. It says, once upon a time, there was a baby eagle called Eddie. Eddie had entered the world by violently forcing his way out of an eggshell to discover himself sharing a nest with his brothers and sisters at the top of a very tall tree. One day, a strong wind blew, and the nest was rocked wildly from side to side, at one point rocking so far that poor little Eddie was tipped out of the nest. Not yet old enough to fly, he fell down, down through the branches, and amazingly, right down into a rabbit burrow at the base of the tree. When he got to his feet, Eddie found himself amongst a group of bunnies around the same age that he was. Now, rabbits may be good breeders, but they're not exceptionally smart. So no one realized that Eddie was, in fact, a baby bald eagle. They all assumed that he was just an odd-looking rabbit. So Eddie was adopted into the family and grew up learning to live as a rabbit. He hopped and jumped and lived in the family burrow and lived on a diet of grass and lettuce. Of course, all his life, Eddie struggled with a sense of terrible inferiority. He didn't look like the other rabbits. He was always the last one chosen in hopping games, and he was often sick from eating grass. Then one day his life changed. Eddie and his rabbit siblings were out in the field playing when a dark shadow spread across the sky. The rabbits looked up, and there, hurtling towards them, was a mighty eagle. The squeals of fear, the rabbits ran as fast as they could for the undergrowth. Eddie knew he was a goner. He couldn't run as fast as the others and saw them all reach safety while he was still hopping like crazy out in the open. The mighty eagle drew closer and closer until Eddie could feel its shadow right above him. Eddie braced himself for the inevitable when he heard the eagle cry, "What are you doing hopping around on the ground like a rabbit? You're an eagle. Spread your wings and fly." Startled by the shock of what had happened, confused by the eagle's words, Eddie started to move those useless things at his side. He stretched them out and began flapping until he found himself lifting off of the ground, then soaring effortlessly through the heavens. That day, Eddie discovered he wasn't made to hop along the ground, but to soar through the skies. The same is true of us. God created us with enormous dignity and honor to be its image on earth. We grow up in societies that tell us we are something other than magnificent creatures created in the image of God. But when we discover our true nature, we are also then able to soar through the skies, becoming everything we were created to be. That's the same poem that Carol read to us this morning. To be created what we were created to be, we are individuations of that infinite presence, of that infinite potential of the universe. We are individuations of magnificence. individuations of beauty and of good, microcosms of the macrocosm. And on a soul level, we yearn to live that truth. We yearn to live the truth and the experience of being unencumbered, being all that we can be. And there's a bunch of things that keep us in that tomb of darkness, that keep us living as that caterpillar, that keep us living thinking that we're a rabbit instead of an eagle. And some of those things are our self-limiting concepts. When we tell ourselves that we aren't able to, or that we can't, or that we are not enough, or that we are not good enough. All those self-limiting concepts that we got from our childhood, from things that people told us that we still hold on to today as our identity and who we are. We have self-limiting stories that we hold on to, identifying with those stories, the negative things that have happened to us in our lives, the traumas that have happened. I'm a survivor of whatever, fill in the blank. That we still continue to identify with this thing that happened to us so long ago instead of stepping forward into freedom. Or we hold on to those stories of things that we have done and how terrible we are, or guilty or unworthy, whatever it is, because of something we've done. We hold on to negative self-judgments and unforgiveness of ourselves, and it keeps us from soaring. And so if we look at the story of Jesus' death, as he's hanging on the cross, there are two thieves, one on either side of him, and he says to them, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." He didn't say, "I am the only one that gets to experience freedom and an expanded realm of being and be in paradise." He didn't say, "You are a sinner and have made these mistakes, so you do not get to go, only I get to go." No, he said, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." Not just did Jesus let go of the lesser and get born into something more expansive and greater, we all, as we let go of the lesser, get born into that which is expansive and has a sense of freedom with it. And so in Science of Mind, Ernest Holmes, who is the founder of this philosophy, says this in the Science of Mind textbook. He says, "There cannot be a law in the universe which demands evil, lack, limitation, and the experience of unhappiness." He goes on to say, "There is no damnation outside of one's own state of thought, no punishment outside of that self-inflicted through ignorance, and no salvation outside of conscious cooperation with the infinite." No salvation outside of conscious cooperation with the infinite. We consciously cooperate with the infinite when we are like it. We consciously cooperate with the infinite when we are like it in our essence, in our thinking, in our beingness. For example, as we die to that which is unlike the divine, that which is unlike love or wholeness or good or peace, we are born again into that realm of a greater life, into greater living and greater being. We are transformed into our true selves, into our God nature. Because when we are unlike the divine in our vibration, in our consciousness, in the way that we think and act, we close ourselves off from experiencing its presence. We close ourselves off from experiencing good. When we are filled with judgment, we cannot experience love. That's what I'm talking about. When we are filled with anger, we cannot experience peace. When we are telling ourselves that we are not enough or that we are defective, we cannot experience the truth of our own wholeness. Although our wholeness has never gone anywhere, our wholeness is still a fact and it's still present. But as we hold those ideas that we are less than, we can't experience our wholeness. at when we identify ourselves as being a victim or as being broken, we can't experience the truth of our own innate God-given power, our own innate strength. So when we are thinking or acting or feeling separate and different and distinct in who we are, we can't experience that fullness of life, the fullness of our own good, the fullness of our own peace. We forget and can't experience the fact that infinite presence is always right here, a presence of perfection, a presence of good, a presence of love and wholeness and peace and bounty. And every single one of us has beliefs that take us to those places. We have beliefs and things that keep us living as the caterpillar, that keep us from metamorphosing into the butterfly. We have ideas and thoughts and beliefs and things that we do that keep us in that dark tomb and don't allow us to rise up and to live in a realm of freedom and of joy and of magnificence. And so I ask you, what is the thing right now in your life that's keeping you in that tomb of darkness? What is the thing, the idea or the thought or the activity or the belief that is keeping you from rising into your own magnificence? You've been given a little piece of paper that's in your bulletin and a pen, and so I invite you to take that out right now. And I invite you to close your eyes, and I have some questions for you. So you don't have to write yet. Just listen within. And to ask yourself, what is it that I need to let go of? What do I need to let go of that is keeping me from living my greatest life? What do I need to let go of that is not serving me in living as my greatest self? What is it that I need to let go of that is not serving me in living as my greatest self? Am I holding a limiting self-concept that I need to let go of? Am I holding a limiting self-concept that is keeping me from being born anew into this realm of freedom? Is there a story that I am identifying with that I am ready to let go of today so that I might live a life of freedom and live as my fullest self? Is there a story that I'm willing to let go of today? Am I holding myself in judgment or unforgiveness for something that I have done or said that is keeping me from my peace? Am I holding myself in judgment or unforgiveness for something? As Jesus was on the cross, he said, "Forgive them, they know not what they do." If you knew then what you know now, you would have made a different choice. Forgive yourself so that you might be born anew and have a new start and live a magnificent life. Ask yourself, what am I willing to release today? What am I willing to lay down and let die on this Easter Sunday? And so I invite you to write that down, just in a word, or a couple of words, or a short phrase. What am I willing to release and let go of and let die today so that I might be born into that which is greater? And so I'm going to invite you to participate in a ritual. And so I'm going to invite Ray to come forward and Barbara to come forward. And what we're going to do is we have a tomb here for you to release your thing that you're letting go of. And so I invite you, really let it go as you put it in here. And then you're going to come over and get a gift of transformation from the practitioners here. And so, Tina, we're going to start with you and go out this way. David will direct you. We're going to have you come down the side and then back up the center. And so I honor every single one of you in letting go of that burden, letting go of that thing that you've been carrying and leaving it here behind so that you may be transformed on this Easter Sunday and be born into your greatest self, living your greatest life, being here, doing and being all that you've come here to do and to be. And so I invite you to join me in a spiritual mind treatment in support of this. And so I recognize, yes, indeed, there is only this one life of God, that each and every single one of us is living this life of God here on planet Earth, bringing that presence into this world in a way that nobody else but us could possibly do it. That we are here by divine appointment to bring that presence in its fullness forward as ourselves in freedom and in grace and in openness and in magnificence. That yes, indeed, we may have been the caterpillar, but we are transforming ourselves simply by saying yes to life and yes to this invitation to be our greatest selves. Transforming ourselves into butterflies so that we may fly unencumbered and free, sharing our light, sharing our beauty, sharing the gift of ourselves with this world. I know that we are supported by the entirety of this universe in being this presence of God as ourselves. The presence of magnificence as ourselves. Everything in this universe is conspiring for this right now. And so today we say yes, and we let go, and we open up, and we step forward into the light as the light that we are. How blessed we are to get to participate in this ceremony, to participate in this life, to be walking in this one presence at every moment. And so I know that we are blessed, that our paths are blessed, that everything that does not serve us simply falls away into the nothingness from whence it came. And here we stand in the light. What a glory it is. And so it is with a heart filled with gratitude that I release this prayer into that infinite law of the universe, knowing that it is absolutely the truth and that it is unfolding itself right now because it has always been the truth. And so today we embrace this truth and we are this truth. And I say thank you, God, for all of this. And I release this prayer and let it be. And so it is.